The Queer Feet by G.K. Chesterton.
If you meet a member of that select club, the 12 True Fishermen, entering the Vernon Hotel for the annual club dinner, you will observe, as he takes off his overcoat, that his evening coat is green and not black. If, supposing that you have the star-defying audacity to address such a being, you ask him why, he will probably answer that he does it to avoid being mistaken for a waiter. You will then retire, crushed. But you will leave behind you a mystery, as yet unsolved, and a tale worth telling. If, to pursue the same vein of improbable conjecture, you were to meet a mild, hard-working little priest named Father Brown, and were to ask him what he thought was the most singular luck of his life, he would probably reply that upon the whole his best stroke was at the Vernon Hotel, where he had averted a crime, and perhaps saved a soul, merely by listening to a few footsteps in a passage. He is perhaps a little proud of this wild and wonderful guess of his, and it is possible that he might refer to it. But since it is immeasurably unlikely that you will ever rise high enough in the social world to find the 12 True Fishermen, or that you will ever sink low enough among slums and criminals to find Father Brown, I fear you will never hear the story at all, unless you hear it from me. The Vernon Hotel, at which the 12 True Fishermen held their annual dinners, was an institution such as can only exist in an oligarchical society which has almost gone mad on good manners. It was that topsy-turvy product, an exclusive commercial enterprise, that is, it was a thing which paid not by attracting people, but actually by turning people away. In the heart of the plutocracy, tradesmen become cunning enough to be even more fastidious than their customers. They positively create difficulties so that their wealthy and weary clients may spend money and diplomacy in overcoming them. If there were a fashionable hotel in London which no man could enter who was under 6 foot, society would meekly make up parties of 6 foot men to dine in it. If there were an expensive restaurant which by a mere caprice of its proprietor was only open on Thursday afternoon, it would be crowded on Thursday afternoon. The Vernon Hotel stood as if by accident in the corner of a square in Belgravia. It was a small hotel, and a very inconvenient one. But its very inconveniences were considered as walls protecting a particular class. One inconvenience in particular was held to be of vital importance: the fact that practically only 24 people could dine in the place at once. The only big dinner table was the celebrated terrace table, which stood open to the air on a sort of veranda overlooking one of the most exquisite old gardens in London. Thus it happened that even the 24 seats at this table could only be enjoyed in warm weather, and this, making the enjoyment yet more difficult, made it yet more desired. The existing owner of the hotel was a Jew named Lever, and he made nearly a million out of it, by making it difficult to get to. Of course, he combined with his limitation in the scope of his enterprise the most careful polish in its performance. The wines and cooking were really as good as any in Europe, and the demeanor of the attendants exactly mirrored the fixed mood of the English upper class. The proprietor knew all his waiters like the fingers on his hand. There were only 15 of them, all told. It was much easier to become a member of Parliament than to become a waiter in that hotel. Each waiter was trained in terrible silence and smoothness.